Let us turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Come to Genesis chapter 19, please. Verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Genesis 22. Verse 4. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Verse 19. So Abraham returned unto his young men. Chapter 24. In verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Chapter 25 and verse number 5. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We've read a number of scriptures together today, and I just felt exercised to follow on from our brother Len and what he's already brought before us. There are so many of these scriptures that I felt as just going through the reading of them, which ones do you read and which ones do you leave out? But I wanted to show you, and with the help of God, I want us to see that from the very beginning to the end of the Bible, truth is consistent. And there is never going to be something which leaves you in doubt concerning vital and fundamental truths of Holy Scripture. And so we have taken a few select readings today from Genesis to Revelation, just to be in keeping with what we've heard already in relation to the rapture, and particularly in its distinction from the second coming of the Lord to the earth in glory. Well, you can decide whether I stole some of Len's headings or he stole some of mine. I suppose it's bound to be that I stole some of Len's headings because he had them a lot longer before I ever did. So we'll leave it that way, Len. So if you will see a few of these headings reappear, then you can reprimand me afterwards for stealing Len's notes. But we come to John 14. Just to run briefly through some of these scriptures concerning the rapture that Len has already brought before our minds. And we find that there's a reservation made by the Lord Jesus, a place prepared in the Father's house. And that's for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where that individual may find themselves right now, a reservation in the Father's house. But there's going to be a reception, and the Lord Jesus is going to receive us to himself. Again, a pointed truth to the distinction between what we would term as the rapture and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to receive us, and we're going to be caught up in the twinkling, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And before we even finish this sentence, we could be in his presence. That's just, well, we could use the term awesome, couldn't we? It truly is. But then there's the revelation of the Lord in that chapter, chapter 14, to those disciples who so needed it. And in those following chapters too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you have the reassurance to believers who are troubled about these matters and these distinctions. Then you have, as concerning the resurrection, first our Lord Jesus, the first fruits, and every man in his own order, and it's good to see that order in Scripture. At the rapture, I would see from the Scriptures that it will just be the bride exclusively that's caught up to be with the Lord Jesus. Scripture would seem to indicate that following the judgment seat of Christ taking place concerning the bride, the church, which is his body, then at the commencement of the millennial period after the great tribulation is past, there'll be the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Then, of course, following that of the tribulation believers, or at that time of the tribulation believers. But it commences with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first resurrected man in glory. We've read of one man who didn't die, but was raptured, snatched, caught away, translated straight into the glory without seeing death, that man Enoch. It's a little picture for us, and I'll come to that in a moment, of the rapture when it takes place. But he was translated that he should not see death, says the book of Hebrews. He was found not. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the first man in heaven. Enoch, Elijah, he's the first resurrected man. And we see the Bible clearly states Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the first resurrected man to defeat death. Now, when we come to 1 Thessalonians 4, there's the reunion, as we have already spoken of this afternoon. 1 Corinthians 15, the reality and the result. 1 Thessalonians 1 is the responsibility. We're to wait for his Son from heaven, who has not appointed us to wrath, the rescue, the relief for us. Beloved brothers and sisters, we're not appointed to go through the great tribulation. We'll be rescued from that. And we'll see that in these Old Testament illustrations. But the reward, Revelation chapter 3, tells us that those that have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth. Now, brothers and sisters, what judgment do you know that's come upon all the earth apart from the flood? Well, there's coming a judgment that's going to come upon all the earth. And the Lord Jesus reminds us in the book of the Revelation, in the section to the churches there, that we'll be kept from that, which he'll try. And then he says, him that overcometh I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And so we have there the reward, the rescue, the responsibility, the reward, the reasoning. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up? The rapidity we've heard already this afternoon in the twinkling of an eye, and the radical change. Our bodies shall be fitted with a body like unto his body of glory. What a moment that will be. Finally, there's the rejoicing. I want to come to these Old Testament characters that we've read about this afternoon just to highlight to you from Scripture that this truth is consistent from the beginning to the end of the Bible. And God puts in our Bible illustrations for us. Now, these illustrations, these types or shadows, will always fall down in some area, in some manner, because that's what they are. They're only types and shadows and illustrations. So we cannot take them to their full extent, but we see great truths in these people. So when we see Enoch snatched away before a global flood, and then we read in the New Testament truths concerning a rapture before a global judgment, and Peter speaks to our souls concerning this, that he knows how to deliver the godly from temptation, out of temptation, and reserve the unjust to the day of wrath. This is fitting then to our minds, that we can see Enoch as a picture of the rapture of the church. And so we see here that Enoch was translated, and then in a moment of time, amazing to see Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, as you well know, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and then Noah. And so we see those men in their order, and it comes down to Noah, and he's busy building this ark, waiting for this great day of judgment, which will come upon the whole earth, prefiguring for us that day of coming judgment upon the whole earth. God promised after the flood that he should never judge the whole earth again by a flood, but he will judge the whole earth again. What a day that will be. And it will be a judgment in the great tribulation, brothers and sisters, of which the world has never seen the like before. I tell you in this meeting this afternoon, beloved brothers and sisters, I thank God that we won't be here. I thank God for that. That in His mercy, but according to His work at Calvary, the only people that judgment will be reserved for will be a world of unbelievers. Every believer is going to be taken at the moment of the rapture, and it will be a world of unbelievers. Will people be saved through that time? Yes, they will. The Bible states that for us. But it will be a world of unbelievers. We were just talking about this recently. God will certainly take up dealings with the human race after the rapture. And if the rapture takes place in this hall, or in this period of time, this afternoon, while we're sitting here, and every believer is immediately, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, translated into glory. What's going to be left for the world? Every Bible in this room. Every Bible left upon your lap is going to be left for a world of unbelievers as a testimony to the Word of God. I remember a brother saying to me once in this context, he said, "Clive, give out Bibles. Give out Bibles. Soon we'll be gone and the Word of God will be left." And that's what will be used, the Word of God. That's why when we come to those portions in Matthew 24, 25, the book of the Revelation, describing these times in explicit detail, that is what will be left for men to understand in that day. There will be no preacher of the gospel at the moment of the rapture left upon earth, or no believing preacher of the gospel, let me say. But when we come to Enoch, he's translated that he should not see death. And it takes place not in the middle of this global flood, or at the end of this global flood. It takes place before this flood ever happens. And that's exactly what will happen to every child of God at the rapture. It won't be in the middle of the tribulation or at the end of the great tribulation. But prior to that great event ever happening in that period of 7 years, every believer will be gone like Enoch. But when we come to Lot, we find now that Lot had to be taken out of the city. And this again is a little picture that God could not commence that judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah except Lot be taken out. Why? Because Lot was constituted as righteous. Lot was a believer. Now we said in the Bible reading today, and quite rightly so, that there would be it would be wrong to teach, and it would be wrong for you to think that you could be a believer or that I could be a believer and we could just go on living like the world and presume that we can have the world and have Christ. That's what some would teach, and that is absolutely erroneous. It's not true. It's against the Word of God. But I want to say this. There are believers in this world not living like they should be. And God knows every one of them. And they'll be translated at the moment of the rapture. And I'm thankful that in that moment it's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon God. And I would never have said that Lot was a believer You look at his downward steps as he looks at the plain. He's enticed by what he sees. He moves away. He takes his family towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He ends up dwelling right in the gate of the city, involved in the politics of that city. And he's immersed in it all to such an extent that when he comes out of that city, his daughters commit incest. Look at the ruin of his family. And they learnt it in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was Lot's responsibility. But God could do nothing in judgment until Lot was removed. And God will do nothing in judgment until every believer that belongs to the church is removed. And only then, and then only, will God step in and judge this ungodly world. And when you look at Sodom and Gomorrah and you look at this world in which we live, surely we must say, even so, come Lord Jesus. But we come not only now to Lot, who was taken out prior to the judgment starting, Enoch removed prior to the judgment started, but we come into Genesis chapter 22, 23, 24, 25, and we see that delightful pattern in those chapters, 22 being a picture of Calvary's cross, the son offered in sacrifice. Chapter 23, and these things have been said before by others, but they never fail to thrill the soul. Chapter 23, as the death of Sarah, is a picture of Israel being set aside upon the sacrifice and death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All prefigured there in Genesis 22. And Genesis 23 is Sarah, the death of Sarah, Israel set aside. Genesis 24, Isaac takes a bride. I read to you verse 3 and 4. In verse 4 it tells us that Abraham told the young man he would go away and he would with Isaac, and he would come again. We will come again to you, he says. But verse 19 just tells us that Abraham returned. And it's not until chapter 24 that you'll see Isaac again. Isaac is edited off the page of the scripture for the moment. Why? Because after Christ died, was buried and rose again, he went back to heaven and we haven't seen him. And the next we'll see of Christ is him coming for his bride. Exclusively, he'll receive us unto himself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promise. And that's prefigured for us in Genesis chapter 24. Israel set aside, Christ comes for his bride, Abraham remarries, Israel taken up again. There's the offspring of Abraham. And verse 5, what a delightful picture of the millennial reign of Christ. What does it tell us there? In verse number 5 of chapter 25, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. And that's a picture of the millennium starting. What tremendous truths we have. We missed a scripture. It's just coming to my mind, and I told you there are so many of these scriptures. We hardly know where to read and where not to read. But when we come to Genesis chapter 41, we find that now Joseph takes a bride, Asenath. And we find that Joseph's bride, while the famine was going on, and Israel was affected by this famine, and this was a famine for the purpose of drawing Israel and those brothers back to Joseph. Joseph is a picture of Christ, of course. And Christ is going to reign in millennial glory, but his brethren, Israel, are going to be brought back to him. And so God is going to use the tribulation, the great tribulation, particularly for the nation of Israel, to draw them back to Christ. And almost at the moment when they're obliterated, Christ shall come in great glory and we shall be with him. And there shall be that light that shines upon the nation of Israel. But where was Joseph's bride when the famine was happening? She was in the safety of the palace. Where will you and I be when the great tribulation is happening? We'll be in the safety of the mansions. We'll be in the safety of glory. Beloved brothers and sisters, let this just be so deep rooted in our beings. The Lord Jesus leaves us with these words upon the page of Scripture. You come to the book of the Revelation, the beginning of the book of Revelation, and you find instruction to the churches. Then you come to chapter 4, and the church seems to go missing. And it seems to go missing for the entire book until you come back to chapter 19. Is that a coincidence or is it not a coincidence? When you come back to chapter 19, 20, 21 and 22, you'll find glimpses of the church again. But oh, this is a church that's passed through the judgment seat of Christ, been married to Christ, and it's coming out of heaven again. But what did it say? And it mentioned the churches. The churches. Behold, I come quickly. Beloved, that's the message for the churches. That's the message for you. And that's the message for me. Surely, I come quickly. The Lord is coming. He's coming quickly. Len has alluded to this already this afternoon, and we again back this up by way of Scripture. But he's told us that there are no signs, there's no prophecy that has to be fulfilled for the coming of the Lord Jesus for the church. There certainly is for the second coming. You and I could sit down and we could start to wait for this to happen, for that to happen, for that to happen. We could see these things happening in clear detail spelt out in Scripture. But when it comes to the church, he could come before this meeting's finished. Behold, I come quickly. And that's not quickly as in he's going to come from heaven to the cloud quickly. No. He's going to come any moment, and we must be ready. But we come to the end. We come to the end of the Old Testament. And we find at the end of the Old Testament the book of Malachi. Now in the context of which it's written and in connection with the nation of Israel, we find that they're waiting for the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. Sun in the sky, of righteousness to arise with healing in his wings. When you come to Isaiah chapter 60, you find in Isaiah chapter 60, behold, thy light, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, thy light has come. Let me just quote it exactly in that chapter there. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. That's the same word again, light. It's the rising of the sun. But when you come to the book of the Revelations and it's closing now with the churches in mind, this is the message to the churches. He says Christ is the bright and morning star. Now, brothers and sisters, is there a difference between the morning star and the rising sun? There is. To us, we are looking for the morning star. Israel is looking for the morning sun. Something takes place in between. You see, we were out the other morning and we noticed the morning star, myself and the two visitors from Australia. And as we were out early in the morning, we just made comment to this as the morning star was risen up in the sky and there was the glimmer of the new day on the horizon. That's for us. That's for Israel. What a day. We're looking for the morning star, that period of darkness that shall be after the morning star, before the morning star sun, is the great tribulation which shall be upon the earth. But brothers and sisters, we're looking for Christ to come. Genesis 5, there's so much. Let's just finish with these little thoughts. Genesis 5 is a picture of the rapture, Enoch, the summoning of the rapture, called away. Genesis 19 is the security. Every blood-bought child of God will go, no matter where they may find themselves. Genesis 22 to 25 is the substitute, the sacrifice, but the separation that takes place, and that sublime reunion. And Genesis 41 is a picture of the church in its safety during the Great Tribulation. So let's see these distinctions. Christ, we're waiting for him to come, the morning star, and Israel, they're waiting for their morning sun.